Greetings, beautiful people, and welcome to Bad Thought Therapy. I am so grateful that you are here with me. Let's learn together. Let's grow together. Let's make this world a better place together. Well, today's episode is When We Fall, When We Fall, Lessons on Reconciliation and Redemption. Every single person makes mistakes. Every human being has the potential to do something wrong. It doesn't matter how much money they have, what their race is, what their religion is, what their educational level is. Every single human being makes mistakes, period. And so what I am so concerned about, because of all the things that I know you see as much as I see them in the news, is that when people make mistakes, everyone else focuses in on the mistake. The mistake itself becomes what people become fixated on, when really what would really be helpful to us is when we shift the focus from the mistake to how to correct it. How do you redeem yourself when you have sinned? How can you reconcile broken relationships? Well, number one, we can't do it without the Most High God. And that's why I do Bad Thought Therapy. This is really like a ministry for me. It's for me to be able to share with you not the wrath of God, but the love of God and the mercy of God. I'm not saying that God is not a God of wrath. I'm not questioning anybody's so-called prophecy. But I will say this from my own personal experiences. I know that God is a forgiving God, that He is a loving God. And even when we fall short and we don't do everything that we're supposed to do, He redeems us. He is the lifter of our heads. And I think, you know, and I'm a little concerned. I'm not, in the formal sense, I'm not a minister, but I do know that there are so many of them who are getting entangled with sin. And really, it's easy to understand, because the enemy is out to get God's people. Our spiritual enemy wants the best of us. And if we do not know how to adequately guard our hearts and our minds, it's very easy to get caught up. And so, again, that's one of the reasons why I do Bad Thought Therapy. So I want to talk about, you know, what do you do when you make a mistake? And let's try to shift the focus from these so-called mistakes to how to correct them. Now, I want to emphasize, because I did an episode recently on the T.D. Jakes rumors, and I want to emphasize everything we hear about these people who are public figures and they have a national platform. Everything we hear, all of these things are simply rumors. We do not know what is true and what is false. God does. We do not have the ability to separate fact from fiction. God can do that. I think when we see things happening with other people, we can use those situations now, to extract life lessons, to learn some principles, because God always gives us examples. He gives us the ones to follow and those not to follow. And so, because we're on the outside looking in, this is a time for us to learn. This is school right now. This is spiritual school. Y'all know I'm a teacher, so I got to put that in there. And this is school, and it's time to take some notes. It's time to take copious notes so that you can learn and make sure that you don't find yourself in this situation. But I am so thankful. I got to praise the Most High God for His love, for His grace. Everything that He does is a reflection of His love. I remember one day I was reading, I love Our Daily Bread, and I've talked about it on this podcast. And one morning I was reading it, my morning devotion, and it talked, the writer talked about the sun. And the writer said, you know, if the sun were just a little bit closer to Earth, we would burn to death. If the sun were just a little bit farther away, we would freeze to death. God, the same God that strategically put the sun where it is in relation to the planet Earth so that we can be here, cannot just be a God of condemnation and punishment. He has to be. That is evidence in my mind that he is a God who cares about us, who made us, and yes, he already knows that we are susceptible to falling. And so now when we fall, what do we do? That's what I want to focus on tonight. I want to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, for sharing this. I'm asking everyone to please subscribe, please like the video if you like it. Make a positive comment, but make any comment. You're not going to get blocked if you make a comment that I don't necessarily agree with. But if you do like this episode, please like the video. Please make a comment and please subscribe and share. So let's continue going. I pray that you are blessed by this message. It's going to be a little long, but that's the beautiful thing about my podcast is that you don't have to be watching them because I'm doing slides. You can listen while you're driving, while you're walking, while you're cleaning, in your car or anywhere. So again, thank you for tuning in, and we're going to keep this lesson going. All right, beautiful people, let's keep learning and growing together. And on your screen, you will see a prayer, which is the first verse in the 51st chapter of Psalm, which I'm going to read. But one of the things I want to emphasize, because there is a lot of talk about T.D. Jakes, there are other ministers who have had bad things associated to their names. And again, most of what we hear, they are just rumors. Whatever we're hearing, we cannot verify what is true or false. And so we have to be very careful how we handle this. And as I emphasized earlier, that everything that happens can be used as a tool for growing. If we will focus on the lesson, if we will focus not on the people, but if we will focus on the purpose of this, we ourselves can get better. I did an episode about T.D. Jakes, and really it wasn't about T.D. Jakes, I shouldn't say that, but it was about the lessons that we can learn about friendships and association. And one of the things that I said was that T.D. Jakes does not know me, he does not care about me, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, but he just doesn't know me. He doesn't know I exist. He's not going to pay my bills. If I get sick, he's not going to come to the hospital. So I think that one of the biggest lessons that we need to learn is we need to learn how to shift our focus from man to God. So many people get lost because they are fixated on the person who is delivering the message. The message and everything that we have, not just God's messages, but every single thing that we have comes from God. It may come through a person, but whatever we have in our lives is coming from God through this person or this system or whatever it is. And we must never lose sight of that. Traditional religion has taught us, unfortunately, to focus on people, to focus on ministry, to focus on rules and regulations and religion. It is now time for the people of God to wake up and to understand that the most powerful thing that you can have in this world is not anything material. It is a personal relationship with God. That relationship allows you to talk to him 24/7, 7 days a week. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to go through a security team. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be known. you can go to our loving Heavenly Father any time of the day or night. You don't have to worry about being shamed. You don't have to worry about being judged. And you can pour out your heart to Him. Our focus has to be on a relationship with God. And I will be the first to tell you that I believe that, yes, God uses people to speak through. But I do not worship a man or a woman. I worship the one who made the sun and the planets and the stars and the oceans and all the living things in the ocean. That's who I worship, and that is who I want to encourage you to begin to talk to. Don't let anyone guilt trip you or shame you because you're not participating in rules and regulations and traditions that were created by men. You have to understand that you can have a personal relationship with God. You don't need any person to be between you and God. We have Jesus Christ as an intercessor. But you can just talk to God for yourself. You can listen to God. He will meet you where you are. And I'm telling you, it is the most powerful thing in your life. Once you get this, I'm telling you, your faith walk will become stronger. God will begin to speak to you. You will begin to heal. But we get so confused because, you know, and I used to talk about this a lot. If you take any subject, let's just take love, for example, just pull out love, and you listen to 10 different ministers talk about love, you might get 10 different messages. Because even though God may use these people, because we're in the natural is still in operation. So a part of their message does have to do with their own personal style, their own personal beliefs. That's not to take away from their anointing or whether or not God can use them. But my point is that you won't be confused when you go to God and you get your directives and you get your wisdom and you get your guidance and you ask God to help you and show you and be a light unto your path, you will be okay. But see, in traditional religion, the church and people in the church have told you, no, you got to follow us. Oh, you can't read the Bible on your own, or you can't be out here on your own. You got to fellowship. And I'm not saying you don't have to fellowship. I'm not saying you don't need to collaborate and work with people and fellowship with people. But the problem is that is when it becomes an issue of control, as a way of controlling you and being able to have control over you, and you always remain in a subservient position. And I'm going to just say this, and again, I want to emphasize, I'm not really talking about people, I'm talking about principles. There are people in ministry and they are multi-millionaires. And the people that spend their time fixated on them struggle to pay their bills. They struggle to pay for a place to stay. I'm talking about basic stuff like a place to stay and to have food and to have their utilities and all these things. That I cannot believe is pleasing to God. And so what you have to do is you have to make sure that this is the time to begin to say, humble yourself, get in a quiet place, turn off everything and say, God, I want to know you for myself. Because again, if you listen to 10 different ministers, 10 different people, you'll get 10 different messages on any subject. And you're like, okay, well, which one do I follow? Follow God. Follow Him. Go to Him with a sincere heart, with a humble heart, with a genuine thirst to want to be better. And yes, the enemy is not going to like that. He's going to be busy. He's going to get mad. But guess what? When you keep your eyes on God and He is first and He is the nucleus of your life, I'm telling you, you won't be confused. He will speak to you. He will guide you. He will protect you. He will every, oh man, it's just, indescribable how much better life becomes when you have relationship over religion. So we're talking about falling. Many people have fallen. And I was led to do this because I hear so much condemnation. And I want to make sure that I'm not engaging in it. And I just want to emphasize that when we make a mistake, God can restore. He can redeem us. He can transform our lives. And I am convinced, and I've said this before many, many times, that we have an intrinsic gift. And that is the power to transform and to create. Whatever it is we need in our lives, we can create it. If we need to create peace, we can create it. If we need to create love, we can create it. We can also transform. A mess can become a message. Trouble can become treasure. Obstacles can become opportunities. Bitterness can become betterness. It's about, but we cannot do it alone. We cannot do it in our own strength, in our carnal strength, in our natural strength. We have to tap into and connect with the Most High God to be able to do it. And I've talked about this before. When I'm talking to young people, I try to use analogies and illustrations. And one of the things I use is a laptop, because my laptop right now, the one I'm on is unplugged because it's charged. And if I didn't plug up my laptop to the source of power, eventually it would shut down. And we're like that too. As long as we are plugged up and we're connected to the source of power, Yah Elohim, the Most High God, then we are able to function at our maximum level, and we'll be able to see evil, and we'll be able to get out of the way of evil. And if we submit to God and we resist the devil, then it will leave us, and we can live righteous lives and we can be good examples of righteousness. But the moment that we disconnect from the Most High God and we start connecting with all these other things and these people, that is when it becomes easier for us to lose our way. And just like my laptop, if I don't plug it up, it's going to cut off. And that's when we're not plugged up, the Holy Spirit is cut off. But here's the good news. We can cry out for God's mercy and for His grace. And over and over and over again, there are examples from the Bible. And then we have examples that predate the Bible. And we have thousands and thousands of examples after the Bible of God's mercy working through people's lives. So when a man falls, they can get back up. He can get back up. She can get back up when a woman falls. I'm just talking about men because it seems like they're kind of highlighted right now in the media. But when a man falls, he can get back up. And here's some things in this video we're going to talk about that he has to do. And if he does these things, and I know these things are not easy. That's why the first thing on the list you'll see is we got to pray for God to help us do these things. But if a man does these things, then he becomes an incredible testimony for people, other people. So when they fall short, God can help them get back up again. Here's a prayer for mercy from the 51st chapter of Psalm. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your abundant compassion, blot out my transgressions. Here is in Psalm 51, we have the Psalm of David. A psalm is simply a song. It's a song of praise, and it's a song of petition. And David wrote these songs. According to most theologians and biblical historians, some of the psalms that are in this book were written by King David. And I mention him because he is one that fell short. He committed adultery. He committed murder. He fell short and he cried out to God, and God heard his prayers. And so that's what we have to hope for other people who fall short. I know that people walk around and they're perfect. I'm not. I'm telling you, I'm not perfect. So therefore, I know how to call out for God's grace and mercy. And that's what we have to do. Here's another scripture from that 51st chapter of Psalm. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. When we fall short, we need to pray first for God's mercy, for God's grace, for God to create a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit within us. Those people who want to condemn and who want to talk about the punishment of God, may God have mercy on them. And some of these people are saying they were told to say all this. But let me tell you something. When you start reading for yourself, when you go and you read the Holy Bible for yourself, and you read it from beginning to end, and you know how to use the Bible, and I'm not going to get into it, but a lot of people misuse the Bible. When you know how to use it, what one principle that is in that Bible all the way from beginning to end is God's mercy. From beginning to end, the scribes, the prophets that God spoke through, they all talked about if you turn, God will save. If you let go of evil, God will bring good all through it. And that's why I'm concerned that people have gotten fixated on the reign of terror and all the punishment and all the condemnation over people's lives. I'm so concerned because there are people out there who are already broken and suffering. If you're listening to this and you're one of those people, thank you, Jesus. I want you to know that God is a God of unfailing love. And I didn't learn this from what I read. I learned this from what I have personally experienced. And the same God that showered grace and mercy on me when I fell short, he will also shower it upon you. Humble yourself. Cry out to him with a pure and sincere heart, and he will restore your life. He will teach you about redemption. He will teach you about reconciliation. I am a witness. So blot out those ears that have chosen to focus on the punishments and the wrath of God. And I'm going to tell you why they do that. They use the name of God. They say it's from God, but really it's from them. It's in their carnality that they want to strike, be cut down, people down, because that's what they would do as human beings. You see, it takes more spiritual energy to do the opposite of what we naturally would want to do. So when someone strikes you, what would you naturally want to do? You'd want to strike back. And that's easy to do. That's very easy to do. It takes a lot more spiritual energy to say, no, I will not strike you the way you have struck me. I will do something different. I will turn your evil for good. That's how you know it's from the Most High God. God is not like men. Men seek revenge. When someone does something to them, they want revenge. So be very mindful when you listen to these people that are sprouting out all this stuff about the condemnation and the doom and the gloom. Be very careful about that. Now, I'm not saying that they weren't told that. Somebody told them that. I don't know who it was, but just know, because I don't want any another person. Oh, help me, Jesus. I don't want another person to give up and lose their way because you have people that instead of drawing them to God with love and with hope, they try to scare people, but there are people that are so afraid, they'll give up. And I don't want to see that happen. And that's why I do Bad Thought Therapy. I want to encourage you. I'm not talking about what I think. I'm talking about what I know. I'm talking about the goodness and the grace of God. And no, God does not condone sin or embrace sin. But if a person turns away from sin, God will heal them. God will restore. God will let them be an example of his transformative power. And that person will experience a preternatural love that they could never get from another human being. I'm talking about facts. So I want to say that. I want you to say this prayer. This is the first verse in chapter 51. Say that prayer. Read it for yourself. It is in the Holy Bible. But say that prayer if you have fallen short. We all fall short. And now, instead of focusing on the fall, let's focus on how to rise. You can't do it alone. I want to emphasize that before we go to the next slide. We cannot do it alone. But with the Almighty, with the Holy Spirit, with the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, with the Messiah, we can do it. Amen. Throughout this video, I have a list of actions that we all must take when we fall short. All of us have flaws. We have feelings of inadequacy. We have doubts. We have these things because we're human. And the whole purpose of life is to connect with the Most High God so that we don't let these things strip us of an opportunity to use what God has given us for good, to build his kingdom, to strengthen people, to encourage people. And so when we fall, we have to understand we can't focus on the fall. It is done. We can't go back. You can never, ever reverse the past. You can't undo what has been done. But now you have to start where you are. And you have to move forward. And in order to do that, you must first pray for the strength and humility to confront your sins. I'm going to say that again. You see, before you can even confront sin, you have to pray for God to give you the strength to do it and humility to do it. Why? Because we have a natural tendency to deny what we've done, to justify what we've done, to trivialize or minimize the effects of what we've done. And why do we do that? It's because of something called shame. And I'm going to deal with that in this presentation. It is because, for whatever the reason, and I'm going to do another podcast on this. I did one, I've been only been a podcaster for 2 years, but I did one a while ago about shame. When we're very young, we learn that people will punish us when we do something wrong. Instead of when we do something wrong, we don't learn about the correction and about grace and about love. So as we grow up, what we're always trying to do is we're trying to hide our wrong. We're trying to justify it. We're trying to minimize it. And what happens is, as long as we're doing that, we can never be free. We can never be a real agent of light on the level that God wants us to be. So you have to pray for the strength and humility to even confront your sins. Now, some people are in the media because they have a public platform. Somebody like me, I'm in a place of obscurity. When I do something wrong, for the most part, nobody will know about it. Okay, the world won't know about it. So I can pray privately and I can do this privately. Some people, because they're public figures, of course, they do need to pray for the strength and humility privately, but they may have to address this publicly. And that is very hard to do. I understand why people don't want to confront their sins, especially in front of other people, because it's very hard to do, because it hurts to be condemned. Shame is painful. It's not something that it is something we can overcome, but it's not something that most people even want to deal with because it is so painful. But shame is something that you don't have to feel, because shame is something that comes from the outside. Shame comes from the outside. When we feel remorse, that's coming from God. We can take off that coat of shame. And I'm going to talk about it. And I did a whole podcast on it, but I'm going to do another one. But you got to pray for strength. Because here's the thing, you know, I keep saying this over and over again. We don't know when we hear things about, for example, what is going on with T.D. Jakes. We don't know what is true and what is false. These are rumors. We don't have any proof. And then even if we had proof, how much should we be focused on a man's life who really is not in our personal lives? He's not somebody that's paying our bills or driving our children to school or working beside us. This man does not know that I'm breathing right now. So I don't feel that I should really be focused on another person's sin, another person's issues. I see it and I'm going to say, okay, let me take some notes because we're in school now and we're going to take some notes. We're going to learn some lessons from this so that we can be better. But we got to think about that. We just need to confront our own sins. How do we do that? One of the things that I talk about, I'm not going to sound redundant if you listen to Bad Thought Therapy, but every single day of your life, you've got to put aside time, quiet time with the Lord. You've got to turn off everything, phone, television, computers, everything, work, everything. And you have to just surrender to the Most High God, because I'm going to tell you something. Without Him, we can do nothing. I cannot take my next breath without the Most High God giving me permission to breathe. I can't do anything without Him. And we can hide in front of other people. But here's the brutal reality. We cannot hide from the Lord. So we can walk around and we can look good to people, but in the end, that's not really going to matter. Because in the end, our soul belongs to God. It does not belong to the people. The people do not have a heaven or a hell to put us in. We can experience in the natural people's condemnation and punishment and judgment or whatever we want to call it, but the bottom line is we got to get right with the Lord. When we fall, it is time then to increase our walk with God and turn up that fasting life and turn up listening to God, having meditation and pouring in the things in us. But we got to pray for the strength and the humility to first deal with the sin. I cannot tell you as a social scientist, you know, the reason why, and I'm working on some things, I'm working on a book, I've been working on it for a while. The reason why I discourage people from confronting people about something that they've done, even though sometimes I do it, because I already know what's going to happen. The person is going to deny that they did it, or they're going to excuse it, because it's so hard for us to confront our wrong and say, you know what, I'm just wrong. There are no excuses for it. I should not have done it. And then this is where it gets really hard, is now I'm going to take action to reconcile and redeem myself. Again, we are not able to do this without the help and the power and the strength of the Most High God. Beautiful people, class is still in session. We're going to keep learning and growing together. The other thing that we have to do, and I'm going to talk about two ways we do this. We must confess our sins. We should not ever deny what we've done, trivialize what we've done, minimize or excuse our behavior. And this is what 90% of people do. If you take 9 out of 10 people and you confront them about something that they have done wrong, I'm willing to bet just right now in the natural, 90% of the people will say, you know, I didn't do it, or it wasn't that bad, or they'll try to explain away their behavior instead of just saying, I was wrong. I should not have done that. I can do better. I was weak. I gave in to my lust. I gave in to my flesh. I gave in to my desire to punish, to get revenge, or to condemn. Whatever it is, we must confess our sins in order to be free. Now, here's the thing. When you're not a public figure, I don't feel that the confession needs to be made publicly. If we're going to confess our sins, first, they must be made to God. He already knows. But when we acknowledge our sins to Him, it is a sign of our genuine humility and our reverence for Him. He already knows. We can hide from the public. But you're not hiding from God. And this is a thing I told y'all, my sister, I was in that room when she took her last breath. And at the end of the day, it is really going to be about where we are with God. And so we need to confess our sins to Him. And then here is where it's going to get very hard for people who are in the public, like a T.D. Jakes. I'm not saying that he did what they're saying he did, or if anybody else has done the things that they're accused of doing. What I'm saying is, let's say a person is a minister and he has done something very evil and against God. He needs to confess publicly. He doesn't have to get into all the ugly, intricate details, but to come out and say, ladies and gentlemen, I fell short. I gave in to my flesh. I have sinned. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I have sinned. Please forgive me. There is so much power in that. And then once that person confesses, then no one else can weaponize shame and put shame on that person, because that's when I know a person is really connected to God, is when they can just come out and confess. They're not trying to excuse. They're not trying to justify or trivialize their behavior. They just come out and say, I was wrong. Some years ago, I live in the Atlanta area, as most of y'all know. And most people know about the controversy with Eddie Long. We don't know all the details. You know, we just know that he was accused of something. We know that he denied that he did it. We know that he got really, really sick, and we know that he died. But we don't really know what was true and what was false, what was fact, what was fiction. What I wish had happened, and I was like, God, how do I become a counselor to the people? I just wish that he had confessed. If he did it, I just wish he had said, people, my beloved people, I fell short. I gave in to lust. I gave in to my flesh, whatever. And what I was thinking was, if he had done that, he would have had incredible power to save so many lives, countless lives, because he would have become an example of how, when you have a fall from grace, how you can do the right thing and you can ask for forgiveness and you can turn your life around. And you know what I believe? I believe he would have been alive. But I believe, again, because I get it, shame is such a hard thing to deal with. Because number one, from the time we're born, we're taught to hide, whether it's indirect or direct, we really are taught to hide our wrong. Or we try to hide it because we don't want to deal with the shame. We don't want to deal with the punishment. We don't want to deal with the condemnation. But no other human being has a heaven or hell to put us in. Our great judge is fair, and he is gracious. He is a merciful judge. And if we would just confess, and so I'm praying that even if T.D. Jakes, didn't do what he's accused of doing, I wish he would just come out and say, I have sinned for being around people who have been embroiled in this kind of controversy. I just wish he would come out and say, forgive me, I'm sorry, I have sinned. Because what it would do for people who follow these ministers — I don't follow ministers, I don't follow men. My pastor, I think he is anointed. I think he is a man of God. But I never forget, he is a human being. He's not the God. He's a man. He's immortal. But I just think it would help the people in the world who are so confused right now. That's one of my prayers. God, your people are so confused because traditionally religion has taught people to follow people. Most churches are not God-centered. They're man-centered. Everything is centered around men, the man who is in the pulpit. And what I don't hear, and it just breaks my heart, is I don't hear enough people in ministry pointing to God. Don't follow me. Follow God. Read your Bible for yourself. Pray every day. Those messages are what allow people to build and strengthen their relationship with God. But we got to confess. Whether it is a public confession, we got to confess. We need to also confess to the people that are affected. Now, let's just say that a minister falls short and, he didn't fall short. People think he has, but let's say he did. All right. He should confess to his family. He should confess to the people that is going to impact the most. Again, whatever a minister does, it doesn't affect my life because not one minister is over here paying these bills at 4478, baby. So no, I care about the body. I care about the kingdom. But again, these people don't know I'm breathing. So we got to stop this because there are people, again, they get so entangled in other people's lives. And because of that, they are not investing the time and the energy and education in their own lives. So they're not growing. But that is what we have to do. We got to confess. Again, I know it's hard. This is what I would love to see in terms of revival in our community where more people just start coming out. I did it. I don't care how gross it is because some of this stuff is really disturbing and it's gross and it's just downright evil. But again, I know what my God can do. He can turn water into wine. He can turn your trouble into treasure. He can turn those obstacles into opportunities. God is a God that transforms and from the bad to the good. He can do that. And over and over and over again, there are examples. But it first begins with confession. Denying and justifying and excusing. And let me tell you what happens. Because when you confront someone, and it's not a good thing to do, but let's say you mess up and you do it, you confront somebody, you know what they're going to do? They're going to excuse it. They're going to justify it. But guess what that does? It makes it worse. When a person does wrong, but then in a way when they're denying it, it's almost like they're doubling down on their wrong. And it just leaves even a more bitter taste in your mouth. Because now it's like, oh my goodness, they just totally justified what they did. And just instead of saying I was wrong, got to confess it. And that is how a person becomes free. There are so many biblical characters who fell short and they made the effort to repent. But one that stands out above all the others is the man we know as King David. And I'm not going to get too deep into the story, but it would be just great to do a whole story on him. But King David, he fell short. He committed a grave sins. He committed adultery, and then he committed murder, and then he tried to lie, so he did all these different things. And in biblical times, when a man was a king, he had sort of like a counselor, and we call them the prophets. And Nathan was David's assigned prophet. And so at a certain point, Nathan, who was a prophet of God, according to the story, Nathan goes to David and he uses this, what we call an allegory or an anecdote. He tells him this little short story. And after the story, David says to Nathan, hey, this guy ought to be killed. He ought to do this and that. Tell me who the person is. And then Nathan says, David, it's you. And this is what is so powerful that David says, according to 2 Samuel 12, he says, I have sinned against the Lord. David did not justify, he did not excuse, he did not minimize his wrong, he didn't try to fix up his words. He simply said, I have sinned against the Lord. That is what people need to do. Whether you are nationally known or not known, whether you're in an obscure place like me, every single person just needs to say, I have sinned against the Lord. Because that's what we've done. Everything we do is soul work. We have to make sure that our souls are right with God. We can lie to people, but we cannot lie to God. We can hide in front of people, but we cannot hide from God. We must be naked in front of God, so to speak, where we confess all, because he already knows. But when we confess, when we acknowledge, what we're doing is we're really then honoring God, and we're remembering to reference him, because he knows the power, everything is in his hand. And I'm going to tell you, God doesn't want to destroy us. He wants us to live. I'm going to end with Ezekiel 18. It's not his goal. Like I said, I'm concerned because they've got people out there. They call themselves prophets or prophetesses, and they've got all this condemnation and damnation and punishment over people. When I'm like, well, where is God's love? God can do anything. He can take a Saul and turn him into a Paul. Well, guess what? He can turn water into wine. He can turn sticks into snakes. He can open the Red Sea. Wait a minute. He can send manna from heaven. You mean to tell me that God cannot turn a man's life around? He can. Now, he's a gentleman. He's not going to fight anybody to do it. But when we humble ourselves, and when we pray, and when we go to God with sincereness and genuine desire, he can turn us around. And Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. Then he goes on and says, but because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die. So the son that David had with Bathsheba, who was already married, who had a husband that was fighting in David's army, because, you know, she had no control over whether or not, you know, she had to sleep with David. That's another thing. I want to talk about that at some point. You got to understand that the Bible is not a book that fell out of the sky. The Bible is a record of how a certain group of people lived at a certain time. In their culture, women did not have any power. Women had very, very little power. So if a man came to a woman and wanted to sleep with her, she basically just had to do it. So you got to be really careful when people are reading the Bible and they're ignorant, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Very few people have really studied. I'm a linguist, and I've had to study books and how books were created. And, you know, we learned about the sacred text and the Bible and the Quran and these books. And when you don't understand how they came about, it's very easy to misuse these sacred texts and get things twisted. But women didn't have any power. But he slept with another man's wife, and she didn't have any control, and she got pregnant. And then David had this woman's husband killed Uriah. And this is when Nathan came to him with this little story. But look what David said. And look what God did. He said, okay, the son that she's pregnant with will die. And so David fasted and believed until it was announced that the son had died. But look what God did for David. He took away his sin. And he said, because you've shown utter contempt, this is what I'm going to give you, but you won't lose everything. Now, that's the God that I think, the same God that was operating then, thousands of years ago, is working today. And he can work today with the people who are now who've fallen short. We fall short. What do we do when we fall short? Try not to focus on your fall. Try to focus on you getting back up. Try to focus on your recovery, your redemption, your reconciliation. Because I'm a witness that God's unfailing love is real, and He wants to lift you up. He wants to help you keep going. He doesn't want to destroy what He has made, but He wants that when you fall short, that you acknowledge it. Don't excuse it. Don't try to deny it. Don't try to trivialize it. You know what? We've done things, and I know for me, I don't even understand why I did it. I still marvel at a phase in my life, and I'm like, how in the world did I deal with that? And I'm like, wow. Sometimes we don't even know. We don't need to know, because God knows. All right, this is really important, because when we fall short, there are always going to be people who are going to confront us with our mistakes, with our wrongdoing. And when they do, again, this is the key for freedom. This is the key for growth and transformation. We got to admit it and quit it. But what many people do when you go to them and you try to say, you have done wrong, you have sinned. You think about David and Nathan. Nathan was like, you know, David's, you know, consultant or counselor, excuse me. And he was his prophet. And God assigned great men in the Bible. He assigned each of them prophets and people to help them. And they were kingdom helpers. And so Nathan was David's kingdom helper. But what if when Nathan confronted David, he just denied it? Or he said, I'm going to punish you or admonish you for saying what you said. Unfortunately, this is something that breaks my heart. I see this a lot. Someone is confronted with evil, and instead of them, you know, saying, oh my goodness, I have, you know, this person has been sent by God as a messenger, they condemn those people. They talk about throwing stones at those people. Or they got the stones through to throw, instead of just being humble. And that's going to separate the wheat from the tares. That's how we'll know who's with God and who's not. Because the last thing that a person needs to do is condemn and admonish the one who is trying to say, look, my brother, my sister, you have committed a grave sin in the sight of the Lord and the sight of the people too. And this is why so many people are confused. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is why my heart grieves so, because again, so many of the sheep are scattered. They're lost. They're confused because they've been following men and not God. And it is heartbreaking to see. And I, you know, I'm older. You all know my age. I'm almost 60 years old. You know, I've lived a little longer, seen a little bit. But I know that there are people out there, they're still young, they're still tender, they're still yearning. But when they have all of this controversy that we see in the news, and then you have somebody who has been confronted, and then they turn around and condemn the people who are confronting them. And you know, you got, so it's crazy rumors out there. Like they're saying that people died. Like when these people are confronted or someone's about to expose them, people are dying. You know, I don't know if all of this is true, but if it is, it gets even sicker. And that's when you got to be worried about wrath and damnation, is when you know that you're wrong and yet you become arrogant in your sin. And that's why David, the Bible says that David had a heart like God, because when he fell short, you know, he just admitted it. He didn't try to deny it. He didn't condemn anybody. He didn't slap Nathan upside the head. He didn't try to kill Nathan. But you got that going on too, apparently. I don't know if that's true. Again, all this stuff is rumors. And again, nobody's over here paying my bills. So you know how I feel, y'all. But my point is that for the kingdom's sake, we cannot do that. When someone comes to us, and I'm going to be honest, you know, my daughter and I, we're extremely close. And when I get it wrong, she'll tell me. And because of that, and sometimes it's painful, because sometimes she'll say, Mom, you know, you complain about the same things You do the same thing you're talking about. You know, you're talking about people doing, but you do the same thing. I'm like, oops, okay. And I could try to justify, condemn her, but no, she's telling the truth. Ew, it hurt, it stepped on my big toe. But guess what? That's how I get free. That's how I'm able to say, okay, now I recognize the issue. Now I can start working on trying to get better. Please do not condemn anyone because they come to you and they say, you have done wrong, because what that does, it is going to make it worse for you. We talk about this F word so much, forgiveness. Forgiveness is so critical for our health in every way, our spiritual health, mental health, emotional health, physical health. Forgiveness is at the heart of it, and that is when we let go of all the negative emotions that are connected to our transgressions or an offense or bad. We have to forgive, and we must ask for forgiveness, and we must forgive. We must go to God humbly and sincerely and ask Him to forgive us. And I say, if a person is a public figure, to take that a step further and to ask the people that they have sinned against and they have turned away from for forgiveness too, because they're because of their hurt. It's not like, again, the people don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in and your soul doesn't belong to them, but they are hurt by the offense and they are confused or they are lost because of it. And it, again, it is so painful, and that's why I'm doing this episode. This episode is a little long, but I think it's so critical to do, because I want people to know, God, please, anybody listening, for them to be drawn to you. It's all about our relationship with Him is everything. That's it. Bottom line is, period, that's everything. We need to know that the most important relationship is with the Most High God, and we must ask for forgiveness when we fall. And I got to put that out there, that goes without saying. What's deep is that God forgives and forgets. Now, people may forgive, but they may not forget. And I say that God wants us to use memory so that we don't keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And he wants us to remember, but he wants our memories to be healed where we're not bitter because of somebody's transgressions or offenses. And sometimes that takes a lot of work. And one of the things that I learned, like I said at the very beginning of this presentation, I have to ask God to help me. Because, you know, I know people make mistakes, and I have made mistakes myself, I think. But when I start to feel like a person intentionally or maliciously did something against me and I didn't do anything against them, the forgiveness is not necessarily hard, because it's not, because I need forgiveness myself. But the forgetting part is hard. And I really have to work on, you know, working through bad memories, when I have flashbacks, when things come back up. Some people, because of things that have happened, I don't deal with them at all, and I never will, but I have forgiven them. But then when I start to have, you know, when I have a flashback that they tried to do this to me, and it, you know, you realize now, because now I'm so far away from it, I can see things much more clearly. It's like, wow, they did that on purpose. You know, they didn't care about me. You know, it's like starting to hit you like that. But we have to forgive. It is a commandment that Jesus gave that we must forgive so that we are forgiven. And those who are merciful shall receive mercy. And so we just have to remember that that is a part of our walk. But if you struggle with that, then ask God to help you with that struggle, and He will be there for you. Here is another critical action that anyone must take when he or she falls short. And this is the one that I think gets missed the most when someone is a public figure and they feel like they have to do a lot in front of the people. But there must be a season of consecration. And this is when you put away, you know, all of your worldly things and you focus, you have a concentrated focus on God and His power and your relationship and what you've done and healing from that. And this is when you got to engage into that deep prayer. You have to be praying all day, maybe all night. You have to give up your plate. You have to fast. And you need to be in isolation. Again, going back to Eddie Long, I don't know what was true. I don't know what was false. When I saw what was happening, again, I was so saddened and disheartened because I know that a lot of people left that church because they had followed him and he fell short. And then when they left his church, they tried to go to another church. And I heard a minister, and I remember at the time, I was listening to the radio every day after work, this minister telling them, hey, go back to his church. Don't come here. And oh my, I cried because I said, people, they are thirsty for trying to get fed. They want these inspirational messages. And then when their leader fell short, they didn't even have a place to go because this other minister rejected them. And I was like, wow, that is really, really bad. And so I just grieve. And so what a minister needs to do, let's say again, we don't know if Eddie Long's situation was true or not, but let's say he had just confessed. And let's say that he admitted that he had a problem and that he gave into his lust. Then he would need to go into a season, a time. It could be a couple of months. It could be a year where there is, you're not doing what you did before. You step away from that. And you isolate yourself and you get into prayer and you get right with God again and you restore your relationship with Him. Because anytime we fall short is because there's a hole in our relationship with God. We've spent too much time doing other stuff. And we have to be so careful because that can be, the enemy can, it can be so subtle. Like you can think you're doing good and you're talking to other people and you're doing this and you're doing that. But the more you do there, the less you're doing here with God. That's why you have to be so careful. And when these people, like they're public figures and they have a big ministry and trust and believe, I'm sure there's so much to do. Just as a teacher, as a business owner myself, there's so much I'm trying to do. And it's easy to just get distracted by so many things. But we have to make sure that we are consecrating ourselves and we are, you know, making contact with the Holy Spirit, and we're praying and we're fasting and we're isolated. And that's even what our Savior did, Jesus did. When he was baptized, he spent 40 days in the wilderness. What do you think he was doing there? He was praying. He was fasting. He didn't eat for 40 days. He was isolated. And he knew what he was called to do. You know, this walk is not easy. The enemy is trying to get the best of us, and he tries every trick in the book. And some of it, again, can seem so subtle, and some people don't even know they're being used by the enemy. But he tries everything he can to get us, and if we don't consecrate ourselves, we can easily fall short and get caught up in the wrong stuff. So that's something we must do as well when we want to get right, and God, we want God to lift us up. I'm not going to talk about shame too long. I did a whole podcast on it, and I'm going to do another one just on shame because something happened in my personal life, it was a trigger, and it made me start to wonder, why is it so hard for people to admit that they're wrong? Like when we're wrong, why is it just so hard for us to say, hey, I was wrong. I should have done this. I didn't do that. I'm going to make it up to you. Like, what is this so hard? Why is it so hard? And I think it's hard because of this word we call shame. Now, remorse comes from God and is something internal where you feel inside there's this conflict within you, and that conflict creates a situation where you're like, you know what? I don't think I was right. I know I didn't do the right thing. So that's remorse, or some people call it guilt. But shame is a little different than that. Shame, it comes from the outside. It is when people place this condemnation on us for making a mistake or for doing wrong. And the emotion that goes with us having to face this in front of people is shame. And what we must do when we fall short is we must resist letting shame take over. Because when people have shame, they will hold their head down, or they may do something drastic, or they may become like that turtle. They want to crawl into that shell. When you go to God and you have made peace with the Most High God, and you have confessed and you have asked God for forgiveness, and you have asked God to create a new heart within you and clean your mind, when you have done all that, let people believe what they want to believe. They may play shame on you, but you take that shame coat and you throw it away. You give it to the Salvation Army. You give it to Goodwill. You don't have to wear the coat of shame. You have to resist that, because shame is why people won't confess. They are so ashamed that they fell short. But here's the thing. People already believe that they fell short anyway. God already knows if they did or not. And the bottom line is, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Okay, the people still see you as a hero, but God saw what you did behind closed doors in the shadows and the dark. What's most important? And that is why you got to come out with it. Come out of the closet and say, look, I did it. I was wrong. I was weak. I was whatever you want to say, but just come out. Because as long as you do that and you tell your own story and you admit it, nobody then can play shame on you. And here's the thing. You beg to wonder if the reason why people don't confess and why shame is so disempowering is because they don't want to lose the people. And here's the thing. You may lose people when you gain God. What do you want? Do you want to gain people and lose right standing with the Lord? I know it's not easy. I don't even, thank goodness. Again, I'm in a little place of obscurity. I got 10 subscribers. Look, nobody knows I even exist, right? But if you are a person where thousands upon thousands of people are looking at you, that has to be hard. And I believe that one of the ways that you deal with shame is you focus on the people who do love you. His wife, let's say T.D. Jakes, for example, again, everything we've heard of rumors, we don't know if it's true, but if his wife still loving him and his children are still loving him, then that's all that matters. But more importantly, God is still loving him. Honey, take off that coat of shame and walk around with a robe of God's grace. That's what is powerful. When people can do that, that's when they can truly, truly, truly be examples of light and examples of God's incredible transformative power. After this slide, we have two more slides to go. I want to thank you again for listening and watching and learning and growing. I just appreciate you so much doing everything with me. Again, I pray that you will subscribe. I pray that this was a blessing to you and that it helped you, it impacted you. Let me know, because that means a lot to me when I can, okay, if one person heard it and they got helped in some kind of way, that's encouraging for people like me. Good, because I've tried to grow my little ministry, but I know that God, in the end, you know, he determines the increase, when and how, if it's going to happen, but I'm at peace. But I pray that you will just subscribe and let me know if what you feel, make some comments. But here's another really hard one to do. And most people, again, 90% of people deny or excuse. And rarely does a person do this. And this is when you've done evil, you've sinned, you've done wrong. It was intentional, it was malicious, or even when you lost your way. This is the part that most people miss. We must take actions to heal those hurting from our sins. Most people rarely do this. Now, saying you're sorry is great, but it's not enough. And that's as far, if most people don't ever say they're sorry or they ever apologize, but that's as far as it gets for most people. But if people would start to take real action and say, I'm going to make it up for you. I took this from you. I'm going to give you 7 times more than what I took. And that's biblical. And I want to give you an example, a modern day example, and then we're going to talk about some biblical examples. And there was a young man when I first started watching YouTube. This is during the pandemic, I believe. And I was going through YouTube and I came across this young man just sitting in front of the computer and he was talking. And he was just powerful. The anointing was on him. And so his story was that he had been in prison for 25 years. He was involved in something when he was like 17, 18 years old. It was 25 years, you know, it was serious. And he had been in prison, but he had transformed his life. And since he's been out of prison, all he has done is done good. He has worked in the community. He has worked with children. He has done everything. He has used the skills that he has to do everything for children. Now, that's rare. Most people, they have that experience. They come out and they're still trying to think about all the little devilish things they can get into. But he has literally taken action to make up for all the evil that he put out in the world before. He has now put out, 100 times more good. And that's all that we can do. Some lives will never come back. Some things cannot be replaced. But it is so powerful. And I believe there's a special blessing when people do this. When you take the action and say, look, I took a dollar, I'm going to give you $1,000. I didn't do this, but now I'm going to make it up for you. That rarely happens. Again, when you walk with God, I just believe this is what he's going to tell you to do. He's going to tell you for every tear you caused, you've got to give 100 moments of joy. And that takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of time. It's going to take some money. But guess what? If you're really serious about reconciliation, that's what has to be done. Most people, and this is sort of unfortunate, but I'm thinking about people that have these broken relationships with their children. Their children grew up without them. They weren't there for whatever the reason. Again, most people don't ever apologize. And they don't ever come back and say, I'm sorry, I should have been there, I was wrong. I was only focused on myself. I was focused on all the wrong things. So you had to grow up without me, but now I'm going to make up for it. And so I'm going to do everything I can to help you get an apartment or a car or something. That rarely happens. But if you really want people to heal, that's what you got to do. And if you ask God to help you, he'll help you do it. Because saying you're sorry is not enough. You have to take real actions. And that is how you're able to redeem yourself. And without those actions, it's just not complete. I'm not saying, if you say you're sorry, that's wonderful. And I know if a person said they were sorry to me, great. I'm glad, thank you for that. But now they're going to have to do something, And in the Bible, I'll never forget, there's a story of this tax collector that has an interaction with Jesus. And when he meets Jesus and Jesus has that little talk to him, he goes out and he tries to restore all the money that he took as a tax collector. He's trying to restore that. That's how it's done. You don't try to just pop up in people's lives and you don't bring anything but yourself and your excuses. No. If a person is really serious about that life, you're going to have to take some actions. You're going to have to give more if it matters. And again, I know this is not easy. The average person, very few people will be able to achieve this. And that's okay, because if you have prayed for forgiveness and you have confronted your sins and you have stopped your sin, then you're good. But this is like when you put the icing, the frosting on the cake. Oh, that's when you really, really about that life. But that's what, if these ministers or these people in the news, they've said done all these evil things, this is what they need to do. They need to take actions to heal those that they hurt. Wow. Well, this is the part that is something we all have to work on. We make the mistake. It cannot be undone. It cannot be reversed, and it cannot be changed. And so, therefore, we, with God's help, we must be diligent about staying focused on the present and the future. Now, here's the hard part, is that whenever we make a mistake, especially if it is public or we're a public figure, people are never going to let you forget. They're going to constantly remind you that you made this mistake, you did this and you did that. And the way to respond to that, yes, I did. I am free. God has forgiven me and I'm moving on. And they can just take this little hammer of condemnation and punishment over you, but it has no power whatsoever. Because again, people don't have a heaven or hell to put you in, and they don't own your soul. So if they don't want to move past your past, then that's on them. That's between them and God. But I know one of the hardest things that it took for me, you know, I made some mistakes and I was trying to recover. You know, I couldn't forget, and I would be going back in the past, like, how in the world did I let myself do that, or I failed for that, you know? And I kept going back, and I can't undo that. I can't go back and turn the hands of time. The mistake was made. I made it. God, thank you for keeping me, for protecting me, for letting me be able to move on. It hurt, but I have to focus on the present and the future. And that's what we have to do. After a fall, you have to not let yourself, because the enemy, what he wants to do is he wants you to get stuck focusing on the mistake, focusing on what you did wrong, focusing on the sin. You have to be intentional about shifting the focus, changing that channel, and focusing on the fact you cannot reverse the past. When I interviewed the guy that I talked to earlier, so I told you I was on YouTube, and his name is Khalid Kareem, and I'm going to put his in the description box when I drop this video. I'm going to put his YouTube channel on my channel so that you can connect with him. But I interviewed him when I first started podcasting. You know, I told you my story. I left teaching and I had my business. And then at some point I was like, oh God, I'm meeting all these people. I got to do a podcast. I got to just share a little light out there. But I contacted Khalid and I interviewed him, and it was powerful. And that was one of the things that he talked about struggling with. Like, you know, he hurt people and he remembered that. And, you know, he would sometimes think about that. It would be overwhelming. But here's the thing, and I told him this, we can't go back and undo the past. Once it's done, and no matter how bad it is, it just cannot be reversed. And that's when acceptance comes in, and that is when we have to have God to come in to heal our heart and also to heal the heart of the people that we've hurt, that, you know, realize, hey, we can't undo the past. And that's why it's so important for people, when they've done something wrong, you know, to try to then take actions to make up for it. You can't make up for everything, but if you tried, you know, you might be able to make them forget. You've done so much good in the present, they will forget about the evil you did in the past. But that rarely happens, because that does take a lot of effort and work. But what I love about Kareem Khalid is that he has done so much that, you know, he's just an outstanding person, and he's just rare, and he's an example of how we're supposed to be. So I am going to put a link to his YouTube channel in my description box, because that's one of the things I want to do, is just share other people of light out here. There are people who have turned their lives around. They fell short. They got back up. He's just one of many. There's so many others I know. But it is hard to do. And so that's the thing that we have to do. Acceptance, some things you just have to accept. And they're painful, but with God's help, you can accept them. When you accept them, then you can move on and you can grow, you can get better, you can evolve. Beloved, this is our last slide. Just want to recap everything. We first started with asking God to help you be able to confront your sins, to be able to forgive yourself, to be able to come to Him and do the work to heal not only yourself, but anybody that you've hurt because of your sins. And you got to ask God to help you to do all these things, to repent, to take off the shame, to, you know, take action to restore what you took or what you didn't do. All of that is so important. And this is the last slide. It's a commitment. You have to say, I repent. I turn away from my sins. And sometimes, of course, everything that I've said is easier said than done with God's help. But you got to say, I repent. That means that you can't go to the same places you went to before. We can't be around the same people that we were around before. We can't listen to the same things. We can't watch the same things. We can't do the same things. Because again, if our soul is sick, then we're not well. And the most important thing in our lives is our relationship with the Most High God. It's not the things that we gain or the achievements or the experiences. All these things are wonderful. But what's more important than any other thing is making sure that we have a right relationship. We're in right standing with God. And I did this because, again, I was so concerned about people having this condemning sort of spirit and punishment and all this negative prophecy. And I'm like, wait a minute. Yes, I do know that there are people who rebel. And when they rebel, they have to face the consequences of, you know, their sins. And in with every sin, that the consequences are built in. You know, we talked about that. It's not, some people see it as God's punishment, but what it is that the way God made us, certain things are going to, outcomes are going to happen as a result of us doing the things that we shouldn't do. And God knew that. And that's why He sent so many prophets and people to speak to us, to remind us that we should be mindful not to do certain things or do certain things. And so we got to commit to repenting. It's not easy, but with God's help, we can do it. I've said this before. When my sister passed away, I was in a really, really bad place because I was just trying to understand it all. And even though some people would accuse me of sort of being morbid, like, you know, I'm one of those people, like, I always believed that I could die. You would never hear me say something like, oh, I never thought it would happen to me. No, I'm not one of those kind of people. But I just never really thought about our mortality in that way. And then when you experience something like that up close and personal, you start to realize, okay, I need to do a deep dive on this because I really want to understand as much as I can. Death is still a mystery, and there's so much we will never understand as human beings. But when I started, you know, trying to research, you know, after death, you know, pre-death phenomenon, things like that, it is clear that there is something, that this life doesn't end because the body ends. The spirit, the soul in a person continues to live. And there are too many people that have left and were pronounced dead and they were resuscitated and they were brought back and they told their stories. And that many people can't just be making this stuff up. And y'all, there's something to that. So we want to always be in a state of peace with the Most High God. And the way that we have, anytime there is this disruption of our peace and there's this agitation, is because we have taken our eyes and our focus off of God. We're focusing on people. We're focusing on our jobs. We're focusing on things. We're focusing on our flesh. Whenever we do that, that's when we can't be our best. And we don't want to leave this earth, let the body leave in that state. We want to be in a state of peace with our souls. And that, therefore, every single day of our lives, we must be talking to God. We must be listening to Him. We must worship Him. Everything that you see, the sun, the planets, the moon, the stars, the oceans, the trees, he made. That God is worthy of our praise, worthy of glory, worthy of worship. That God is what allows us to breathe. I can't take my next breath without him, and I know it. And so we need to get right with him. If you're a public figure, come on out and say what you did. Just say, and you don't have to give the gory details or the intricate detail. Just say, I did it. I fell short. I was weak. And get right with God and repent. And when that happens, ooh, so many people will be found. There's so many sheep who are lost. But they will come back to the shepherd, Jesus Christ. They will find their way back to the one who died for us. And that's the thing, you know, and I said again, I did this because I keep hearing a few people that now's voices are sort of going around the world and it's all condemnation. And what's deep about it, I'm thinking, okay, what Bible did they read? Because Jesus said, now this is powerful. This is scripture here. While he was being crucified, he had been beaten. He had been lied on and spat on and condemned by the very people that he came to save. And while these people were beating upon him and killing him and condemning him and persecuting him and lying on him and all these horrific things, Jesus said these words, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." That's the kind of God that we serve. That is the Savior who came. So I'm sorry, there is no place for condemnation. I said it before and I'll say it again. Everything I've heard about T.D. Jakes, I don't know if it's true or false. Everything I've heard about Sean Combs, I don't know what's fact or fiction. I know that because people are human beings, they fall short. Just like they've made mistakes, every single human being has also made mistakes. To God, sin is sin. Good is good. Wrong is wrong. We may place a different kind of weight on the sin, but the bottom line is what they have done is between them and God. I am here as a messenger tonight saying that God wants to save you. That he wants you to live. In order to do that, we must all turn away from wrong, turn away from evil. We must submit to God. We must resist the devil. We must fight to stay clean. And because he wants us now, he wants us. And I want to end with Psalm 139, I really wanted to do Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18 is a scripture, passage scripture, that you really need to read. But I'm going to end with Psalm 139. And again, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. This is a very long episode. My prayer from the bottom of my heart is that it bless you and that you will be healed and you will know that when you fall, with God's help, you can get back up. You don't have to stay down. You don't have to hold your head down. You don't have to be ashamed. God will heal you and he will remove the stains of shame. And he will allow you to be an agent of light. Even if you were in darkness, if you turn around and you repent and you turn away, and you ask God to forgive you and you pray and you get in right standing, he can still use you. And that is for Sean Combs. If he did it, again, we don't know what's true. That's for T.D. Jakes. I say that to you. And I'm just saying that none of these people know I exist, but I'm saying it because I know people are looking at these two brothers, these two men, and they look up to these people because these people are successful and they are well-known. And there are many people who are looking up to you. And I pray that if these things are true, that you will get right with God, because we serve a loving God. He loves you. He doesn't love when we do wrong, but he loves you. And he wants you to be in right standing, and you can get in right standing. Before I end this podcast, I'm going to read one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Psalm 139 is just powerful. This is just powerful. And I am reading from the NIV, the New International Version. It starts with this. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely, the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well my frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me, ooh, are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Beloved family, thank you again for watching and listening and learning with me, C. Cherie Hardy. This is Bad Thought Therapy. Please subscribe. Please like the videos. I don't have a big following on social media, but you can go to badthoughttherapy.com and just on that first page, on the welcome page, scroll down, connect with me. I'll connect with you. Reach out to me. You can reach me at badthoughttherapy@gmail.com. If you have a question, comment, or you would like to be a guest on the show with me, God bless you and your family. Always.